Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Sabbath, and greeting to those of you on the webcast. Excuse me. Many of you of the baby boomer generation will remember the song by the Temptations, "Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all he left us was alone," referring to without any source of income, without any insurance policy, or any assets. That type of lifestyle was a problem 30 or 40 years ago. It certainly is a far bigger problem today in our society. And who suffers? Mainly the mother and the children. Another example of what may be described as a deadbeat dad is Desmond Hatchett. Last year, this article was written in USA Today, more than a year ago. Hatchett of Knoxville, Tennessee. He has had his way with the ladies. He has had 30 children by 11 different women. He once bragged to a TV station, a reporter, that he has twice had 4 children in the same year, boom. And the oddity is he can only pay $1.49 per month in child support because of his low-wage job. And the Knox County support clerk stated that there is nothing they can do to slow this guy down unless he submits to have a operation or stop impregnating women. Can children born in such a family, as I described, have a real relationship with a father? My purpose today is to ask the question, where are the men? Men who should show, who should be a key to a well-rounded family and society. In the beginning, I mentioned the song, "Papa Was a Rolling Stone." The song depicts a man who was a womanizer, and his children never got a chance to meet him. A man who failed to be faithful to his wife, and he did not work a day in his life, which is a problem in our society today. A large percentage of our population depend upon the government for support. And God's words tell us, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians 3:10. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. If we are able to work and physically able and have all the energy over to work, we should work. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. "For even when we were with you, we command you this: if anyone will not work, neither should he eat." Statistics state that 48% of the population is living together without the benefit of marriage. On a recent Today show, a panel of 3 women were discussing the rise in couples living together without the benefit of marriage. One of the ladies on the panel read a study that showed that men are the ones who strongly resist marrying. But you have to wonder, if they are resisting, why would the woman capitulate and move in with the guy? What I'm about to say may sound harsh, but it is a part of the court that the interviewer or the panel discuss. Why buy the cow when you can get the milk free? Of course, we are not regular. Women are more significant than cows. The reference is, why marry when you can have the benefits of marriage without marrying? Population or the society does not realize that This arrangement leads to multitude of problems. Marriage is not looked upon, as Frank Sinatra sang in one of his songs, "Love and marriage go together like a horse and a carriage. You can't have one without the other." But society continues to put the carriage ahead of the horse. And all of us who are familiar with a horse and a carriage, or a horse and a wagon, we realize that you cannot put the wagon ahead of the horse. The horse has to pull the wagon. Or if you drive out here on Fowler Avenue, you cannot go eastbound in the westbound, cannot go westbound in the eastbound lane, or eastbound in the westbound lane. You may do it for a few feet or a few hundred feet, but eventually you will have an accident. The world has corrupted the gender roles over the last 40 years. They have particularly hammered young men. Our society is governed by opinion. The opinions of people determine what is lawful. No one checks to see what God says. God created us male and female, and He has revealed definite functions for mankind as described in Genesis 1, verse 27. Let's turn over to Genesis 1, and we read verse 27. Verse 27 of Genesis 1. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. And in chapter 2 of Genesis, in verse 24, it outlines what a man and a woman should do. Verse 24 of Genesis 2. Therefore, a man should leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. In Genesis 3, we read about Eve and the serpent. Here is where Adam should have stood up and be the leader that God ordained him to be, and step in and not allow the serpent to deceive Eve. Because Adam was right there, as you read in verse 6. In verse 9, God spoke to Adam, not Eve, signifying that Adam is the head of the house. In verse 12, Adam passes the buck. God has set things in a certain way. Man is head of the wife. But let me add that man is who is primarily responsible for the wife welfare. As leader, he has to be the greatest servant upon marriage. He has to promise to cherish, honor her, not to indiscriminately boss her around. Another example is of Abraham and Sarah. Let's turn over to Genesis 16 and we read verse 1 through 3. Genesis 16, verse 1 through 3. Verse 1. Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid, perhaps I shall obtain children by her." Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, and Abram to be his wife. The question is that we may ask is, why did not Abram set in and say, "I think this is a bad idea"? And he did not use his responsibility as head of household. And we, in verse 12 of Genesis 16, we see the results that has been a problem for thousands of years. Verse 12 of Genesis 16, speaking of Hagar's son's descendants, "He shall be a wild man, his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him." Fathers are pictured in the Bible as the primary teachers, and mothers are the secondary teachers in the family. It is very important to understand that. God has said a man was created first. It wasn't the woman first, but the woman is going to be brought to greater honor because it was through the woman that the seed Christ came through. Only a woman can bring forth a child. She married, speaking of Christ's mother, and brought forth the Christ child. And that brought us hope of salvation through Jesus Christ. Some feminist thinkers proclaim that the sexes were just the same. The traditional gender roles were shaped only by society's expectations. The idea seems to be that boys would behave better, defined as more like girls, if they were taught to do so early in life. The unisex philosophy persists to varying degrees. In spite of the ageless observation and the obvious male-female differences, and the dramatic increase of brain mapping, God has wired the male brain very different from the female brain to equip each for his purpose in marriage and family life. Yet the feminist philosophers proceed to make themselves the arbiters in that they want to make a judgment or influence what people say or think. Quoting from Mr. Martin's sermon, he states that fathers play an important role in a moral behavior. Without fathers' involvement, young people get involved in everything from alcohol, tobacco, illicit sex, illicit drugs. We hear about that every day in our society. Fathers strongly influence children's sexual identities. Do we notice any problem of that today? Why is it that boys want to grow up and change their sex to become girls? Why do girls want to change their sex and become boys? There is nothing like a manly man and a womanly woman that reflects masculinity and femininity. As James Brown sang in one of his songs, "It's a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing without a woman." One of our ministers in the Midwest read in a local paper of a school in an adjoining state that was having a gender bender day, where boys dress up to be like girls and girls dress up to be like boys. This is in an elementary school. Men and women are designed to complement each other and not to be the battle of the sexes. That was not God's intent, but what we see in this world, what we see happening in this world today. The battle of the sexes. Men can do it better. Women can do it better. Back and forth it goes. Boys tend to respond more readily to a system of rewards and correction that fathers use rather than what their mother use. Reading an article in the Tampa Tribune dated June 16th of this year, written by Larry Elder, a best-selling author and a radio talk show host, his comments were about fathers. He quotes from Tupac, the rapper who was killed in September of 1996. He stated that, "I know for a fact that had I had a father, I would have had some discipline in my life. I would have had more confidence." He said, "You need a man to teach you how to be a man." Continuing with Mr. Martin's comments, "The beauty of a family is something that has to be jealously guarded. You don't let anything attack it. And as we know, there's plenty of attacking the family today in our society. Boys who are engaged with their fathers tend to be good fathers as well. They have good fathers who show love to the mother and brothers and sisters, and the whole family sets a good example. Boys pick up habits, good and bad, of their fathers, or occupations of their fathers, farmers, businessmen, doctors, lawyers, etc. It is interesting that these studies all come to the same conclusion that the scriptures have advocated, that fathers bring up their children in the training and instruction of the Lord, as we read in Ephesians 6, verse 4, the NIV. We may ask, is there a masculinity crisis today? Growing up on the farm, young men, boys, knew their roles. They had to learn how to, this is going back decades now, to plow with mules and later with tractors. I understand, my sisters, growing up on the farm, they would not go and pick up bales of hay and throw it on a trailer or a wagon. Or when I was a young kid, my grandparents had a goat that we referred to him as a billy goat. He had horns, and as I got older and he got older, I had the opportunity to go up and grab him by his horns and play with him. When I was young, I would never have thought of doing that because he would seriously injure me. Girls usually do grow up on a farm or in society, they are built to do light work, not hard, masculine work that needs upper body strength. Male studies scholars and author of a new psychology of men professor, Ronald Levant, of the University of Akron, cites a crisis of connection between men and women resulting from major structural changes in women's role over the last 40 years. He says this has shaken the traditional masculinity ideology to such an extent that there is a masculinity crisis in which many men feel bewildered, confused, and pride associated with being a man is lower than at any time in recent past. Further complicating the role of men in our society, an article in the Seattle Times written by Martha Irvin, an AP writer, titled "Boys or Girl? Gender, a new challenge for schools from early on. We divide toys and activities by very distinct gender lines, with superheroes, trucks, muck, meaning manure or compost. On the other side, princes, dolls, and all things frilly. On the other, many children land enthusiastically on the expected side. Others dabble in both girl and boy things. But what if your kid, even from an early age, mostly show interest in doing the opposite gender things? More importantly, what if they wanted to be the opposite gender, or less defined, the mix of both? And what if they wanted to test those limits in public places like school? Would you let them? The question often starts with the basic. Which bathroom would they use? Where do they change for gym class? What if the teacher or student don't want to use the pronoun he or she, or a new name the student prefers? Here locally, a boy showed up with lipstick on his lips and was told by school officials that he had violated the dress code. His parents were two females, so you could understand the confusion. In Colorado, for instance, the parents of a 6-year-old transgender girl, and you wonder how can a girl 6 years old identify herself as transgender. The girl and her parents are suing their school district for trying to make her use a separate bathroom. The article goes on to state examples of two kids who are transgender and their parents, with their parents' approval, and these are elementary kids. On a recent Beyond Today program, the title, Whatever Happened to Sin, they mention some of the moral issues that I am discussing here, how our society has changed, and the words that are used now are used to lessen the effect of the word. For instance, fornication. We use safe sex, consenting sex, and abstaining from sex. Popular culture, entertainment, advertising, meant consumerism, and the quest for stuff has greatly undermined the youthful masculinity. Many seem to have bought into the adage, he who has the most toys win. Numerous male scholars talk about the delay of emotional maturity in many young men today. Some observe the age 30 as the new 15. Going back to marriage, many of the young men today feel that marriage is something that will tie them down like a ball and a chain. But they refuse to get seriously involved with young ladies to marry because of that. It interrupts their style, their lifestyle. Quoting from the Washington Post, March 21st of this year, the younger generations are more tolerant. The younger generation of Americans are more open to the idea of same-sex marriage. Indeed, the Pew report found that 70% of the people born after 1980, the age of 18 through 32, known as the millennial generation, support gay marriage. The ABC poll found similar results. 81% of people younger than 30 support gay marriage, compared with 44% of seniors. The American religious community is deeply divided over the issue of same-sex marriage. The Catholic Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and many evangelical Christian groups, such as the Southern Baptist Convention, have played a leading role in public opposition to gay marriage. On the other side, the Reform Conservative Jewish movement now accepts same-sex marriage, as do a number of liberal Christian churches, such as the United Church of Christ. An article in the Washington Post article lists reasons why American views are changing. The younger generation are more tolerant, the 18 to 32 age group. Americans are changing their mind and are favoring same-sex marriage. It is helped or pushed along by the recent ruling on the Defense of Marriage Act by the Supreme Court. In the latest good news, in an article, The Ultimate Purpose of Marriage, it states that only God can institute and sanctify the marital union. No human being can. What does the opinion of Americans say about the role of a man as the head of the family? As you can imagine, opinions are all over the globe. How can two people of the same sex have an important or a positive effect on the rearing of a child? Several months ago, some of you may have seen it, a post on Facebook stated, "Two roosters do not make a chicken." You can figure that out. Quoting from the Pew Forum, the rising support for same-sex marriage has been confirmed by every major national survey organization tracking the issue. But the balance of opinion differed based on the wording of the question. The March 13 through 17 survey finds 49% in favor and 44% opposed. A Washington Post ABC News survey conducted March 7th through the 10th asked the question, "Do you think it should be legal or illegal for gay and lesbian couples to get married?" This question has consistently elicited a higher level of support for the same-sex marriage. The latest survey finds 58% saying legal, 36% saying illegal. You may ask, why am I discussing all this information about the homosexual relationships? Because there's a tidal wave or a tsunami in our society where they are pushing everything onto people. And if we don't stand up and say, or instruct our children that this is wrong, they will be swallowed up. Their opinion or their view will change, will be unrecognizable in a few years. We cannot stand by and let things go as Doris Day sang in her song, "Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future is not ours to see. Que sera, sera." We cannot let things just happen. We have to step in and stand up and do something by resisting this tidal wave. In Deuteronomy 6, we will notice God's admonition to Israel, and certainly a New Testament application applied to our day. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 6. We read verse 5 through 8. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 through 8. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Verse 6. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk in by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes." Many of us have come to a greater understanding of these words in Deuteronomy 6, where we understand that every time the opportunity presents itself, we have to use it as a teachable moment, whether we're in the grocery store or in the mall or on the highway. There's plenty of examples around of behavior that is not of standard of a Christian. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 and 2, 2 Timothy 3, let's turn over to 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 and 2, which warns us about the course of our society. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1 and 2. But know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. The NIV, in the last part of verse 5, tells us, have nothing to do with that type of behavior. Steve Myers gave a sermon recently on training for tomorrow. He read Isaiah 59, verse 1 through 4. Isaiah 59, verse 1 through 4. Isaiah 59, verse 1 through 4. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. Verse 4, no one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. Mr. Myers stated that as fathers, we cannot allow the various culture wars to enter our children's minds, such as the humanistic idea that are being taught in some schools, a reference to a belief in human-based morality rather than in any supernatural authority. Reading an article written by Rick Batten from the Colorado State University Extension Family and Consumer Science, dated September 2006, what difference does a dad make? Are they really that important? For the most part, studies have consistently demonstrated that fathers, whether they live with their children or not, matter in the lives of children. When a father is present, they provide economic support for their children and assume emotional and caregiving responsibilities. Well-fathered children are shown to be more emotionally intelligent and socially successful as adults. When fathers are absent, their absence may have a negative impact upon their children's academically. Reading from the World News and Prophecy in 1998, an article written by Dr. Don Ward, In Search of Heroic Men, quoting an article from the Dallas Morning News titled Fathering, psychologists and sociologists agree that fathers should be the principal transmitters of masculinity and femininity. The article goes on to state that even though a boy seems to need a father for the most part of 5 years of his life, the rest of his childhood also contributes to the man he ultimately becomes. Folk wisdom, meaning traditional culture passed down, has always to some extent recognize this. A child growing up alongside his father who talks to him, who takes time and interest in him, makes a decision that his son is aware of sets limits to what his son can and cannot do, gets his son to work with him on the job and play sports with him, enriches and smooths the transition from young child to adolescent. A father knows how to praise and encourage rather than criticize and undermine, he will learn faster. Research shows that boys without fathers are usually lacking self-esteem and initiative. They are over-aggressive, impulsive, and generally less able to follow the rules of society. Researchers conclude that if a boy hasn't learned how to get along with his father, he has a difficult time coping with male figures in authority. The remaining time, I will cover a few points of Mr. Mark Mickelson's sermon that he gave on the subject of men not fulfilling their responsibility. The first point was men have abandoned their responsibility as head of household. I give a personal example here. At last year's Feast of Tabernacle, our daughter was invited out twice by two different young men. And each time, she had to pay for her meal, and they paid for theirs. Whereas the young men in my generation, when I attended the feast, when we took a young lady out, we eagerly anticipate paying for their meal. And we wanted to impress the young lady. What I realized in today's society, young people are looking upon things like that differently, and they may need a little coaching. I don't know if these guys were regular attendees of church or not, but I don't think she's in communication with them any longer. In Isaiah chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, Isaiah chapter 3, a prophecy about judgment on Jerusalem and Judah for not obeying God. As an example of no one wanting to be a leader. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 6 and 7. When a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, "You have clothing, you be our ruler, and let these ruins be under your power." Verse 7. In that day he will protest, saying, "I cannot cure your ills, for in my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a ruler of the people." Verse 12. "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your path." We may ask the question, where are the men in this story or these verses? The Greek lexicon translate the word oppress to mean press, drive, and exert demanding pressure. Women have had to fend for their families because their husband chooses to be out of the picture. Or it is by default that women have had to do this. The next point. Men are expected to bear under the face of danger. We are expected to take risks. It's our job to protect the family. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9, "Live joyfully with the wife of your youth, whom you love all the days of your vain lies, which he has given you under the sun. All the days of vanity, for that is your portion in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Verse 10. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is neither work, nor device, or knowledge, or wisdom in the grave where you are going. The next point is, we as men must be willing to stand in the gap when things around us are falling apart. Let's turn to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. Read verse 26 and 30. This chapter describes the sins of Jerusalem. Ezekiel 22, verse 26. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and unholy, nor have they made known the differences between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath, so that I am profaned among them. Verse 30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. The next point is, the family breakdown is a failure of men, who of course are influenced by the god of this world, who wants to destroy the husband-wife relationship. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 3 and read verse 7. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Instruction to husbands. Husband, love likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and be an heir together of grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Wives and husband working together so that contact with God is not compromised. Quoting from the current issue of the Good News, the July-August edition. Physically, marriage is designed for human beings so that we can learn to love one another and our families, and families that come from such a union. Marriage are made, they are not born. In conclusion, we have seen that men play a huge role in the development and stage of boys and girls in a family. And that when they are not part of the family, it leads to a breakdown of the family and society. As parents and grandparents, we need to instill in our boys and girls the value of doing things God's way and the way He has designed us to live.